9 o'clock, and we have all three GOP commissioners.
Okay, we'll call the committee to order, and I think we've got the Open Meeting Act we need to read.
Okay.
The joint meeting of the MNAA General Aviation Operations Planning and Engineering and MPC Engineering and Planning Committees will be held in accordance with Executive Order Number 16, signed by Governor Bill Lee on March 20th, 2020, as amended by Executive Order Number 34, signed by Governor Bill Lee on May 6th, 2020, as amended by Executive Order Number 51, signed by Governor Bill Lee on June 29th, 2020, and as amended by Executive Order Number 60, signed by Governor Bill Lee on August 28th, 2020, allowing a governing body to hold meetings by electronic or other means of communication without a quorum being physically present if the governing body determines that meeting by electronic means is necessary to prevent the spread of COVID-19 or other related epidemics, to protect the health, safety, and welfare of the public and members of the governing body. All votes taken during this meeting will be by roll call vote. And I'll take a roll call. Chair Freeman.
Present.
Vice Chair Sullivan.
Here.
And Commissioner Farnsworth.
Here.
Thank you.
Okay, first order of business is approval of minutes. They've been mailed out previously. I'll entertain a motion to approve both of them together, September 9th and 22nd.
I'm going to approve.
The second.
Okay, there's been a motion and a second. Any further discussion? I believe we need to have a roll call on that.
Chair Freeman.
Approve.
Vice Chair Sullivan.
Approve.
And Commissioner Farnsworth.
Approved.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. And let's go straight to the informational item. Doug, if you
okay. Thank you, sir. No items for approval. The information item that we have today will be presented by Jeff Roach on a review of the John Toon development.
Good morning, everyone. How are you today? I'm going to do a brief update on where we're at with the status of the redevelopment plan this morning and the work that Aeroplex is doing. On the screen, I have the redevelopment plan schedule. It's been updated with the financial workshop that is now set for 10 a.m. to noon on Thursday, November 5th, where we'll go over the financial details that are being worked by Aeroplex at this time. Otherwise, no changes to the schedule. Under project status, the preferred concept was developed for further analysis and financial modeling with the input from the previous workshop that we completed. What's going on now is cost estimating and financial modeling. The financial modeling and cost estimating is being done using templates for five key development areas that will be seen on the next slide. And Lisa will point the development areas out as I go over those. So the first area for financial analysis and modeling will be the MNAA development area T-hangers that are denoted in blue. The second area will be the FBO area, which is area two highlighted in green. It's actually two parts that Lisa's pointing to there. Then the third area will be the RFP and MNAA development area with box hangers and corporate hangers highlighted in orange in the center. Then they'll look at the helicopter operations RFP area, which is highlighted in purple. And then the fifth area that they will review is highlighted in purple as well, and that's the midfield RFP area with corporate hangers being developed. Next slide. So the next steps are financial. As Aeroplex completes the financial analysis and modeling, that information will be provided and your input will be sought at the financial workshop on November 5th, again from 10 a.m. to noon. We'll discuss the items that are listed there plus others that you would like to discuss. And then the goal of the timeline schedule we currently have is to present the final draft of the John Toon redevelopment plan at your next GAOPE committee meeting in November, with approval at the board meeting in November. that, I'm open to any questions we have.
Can you back up to the previous slide, because I think that's what we'll be running.
One note that on this slide where you see the areas like 1A and then there's a 1B and a 1C, 2A and 2B kind of thing, you know, Aeroplex is breaking those up just so we can choose what we want to look at. And, you know, commissioners at the end of this, once we understand what the financial requirements will be for these each areas, we could do 5A and 5B at the same time. You know, we could break them up into two different packages. We can just mix and match how much we want to take on at a given time. But Aeroplex, at least in their discussions with Jeff and the team, believes, you know, it's at least a three-pronged approach that we go out and look at the MNAA development areas as one, work with the FBO, lease, decide how we want to handle that, and then RFP some of the property that has not been developed yet. The neat thing is on November 5th, we'll have a better idea of how much each of these sections would theoretically cost and what kind of rent would have to be charged to break even or make a little money and that kind of stuff. So when I first saw them, why were they broken up? It's just to put the pieces of the puzzle together. We don't know, you know, what we're going to go out to bid with first or second, you know, but I think we'll get some clarity once we see the prices and commissioners have a chance to give us some input on that.
Why the helicopter operation right there shown in the purple at the south end, why would we have the helicopter operation in front of those four big box hangars and maybe perhaps next to the future FBO instead of moving them to MNAA 1A where it actually would be kind of out of the way? I'm just throwing that out there. I mean, I don't know. Just by looking, it looks like that's the worst place in the world to put a helicopter operation.
Aeroplex felt that the helicopter operation would be segregated to the south, and that those hangars that are corporate hangars that are denoted there would be for helicopter operations.
Okay.
So for development for helicopter operations.
That makes sense then. Because before they were hundreds by hundreds, I think.
Yes.
And we also made a deal that who wants to tow an airplane all the way a half a mile.
Right.
Okay.
Well, your analysis not only speak to the construction of the hangars, will it also have a site work component of utilities and removing the old slabs, et cetera?
Yes, it will. They actually, on October 5th, the sub-consultant engineering firm went out and did a site visit, so it is all part of that analysis.
Okay, and so not only the, so that, when I talk about site work, I'm talking about extending the ramps and the additional paving that I guess we would have to do in advance of growing those those T-hanger areas.
That will all be part of the analysis, yes.
And I see where you changed up those hangers on the bottom of the page, RFP, MNA 3B. Did you ever add an entrance for the hangar users?
Well, there is an entrance area denoted down near the helicopter RFP 4 area, but again, that can be located in different places. That's currently where Aeroplex recommends and is looking at access to the T-hanger and box-hanger development area.
Could you point that out?
Yeah, I can't see it
at the end of that row of hangers.
Yeah, it's a little, looks like a little cul-de-sac on the road coming in.
Okay. Coming in from the south.
Great, thank you.
And these green pads would be parking areas.
Do we know how much insurance money we've got in hand?
We are still going through that analysis. I get another update on Friday morning on the insurance side of the house. I was explaining to Commissioner Farnsworth a little bit yesterday. So it looks like, just if I'm using round numbers right now, I don't have the file with me, but it's about $25 to $27 million. And we're probably, well, and that's just insurance. And when I say insurance, I'm summing our insurance plus FEMA aid plus state FEMA aid. And so we have applications in for all of those. So our insurance, based on the total, the dollars that we estimated it would cost to replace some of the material, we're going to get pretty close to what that is. So it's in that 20 million range is what I'm hoping to hear, you know, as we move forward. And that's why this is so important to know what that financial look is, because we have that $20 million, let's say, of insurance. We have some transportation equity fund money that we think at least internally we could use towards John C. Toon. And then the discussion with some commissioners has been brought up whether or not we want to bond any additional work to be done. And those are all things that commissioners will have to, you know, consider, and the staff will definitely have to consider as we move forward.
So you haven't settled with the insurance company yet?
No, because really, as it's described to me, the insurance company knows what's covered, and they acknowledge, you know, that we're working on that, but they're not going to pay us anything until we give them a plan. I mean, we've got $3 million from them as a, you know, hey, I know I'm going to owe you more than $3 million. So they gave us $3 million right off the bat. But they're not going to pay us until we show them what the development plan is, because we're still, like, for example, business interruption, we're still debating back and forth on that. They want to cut us off after 6 months. We want to argue, no, this is a pandemic. We've had to study what we want to do. You owe us 18 months of business interruption. And so there's some of that back and forth still going on, but until we deliver a plan that, you know, we feel comfortable with, we won't start settling these different policies.
I don't understand why we haven't dug up these pads and get that shovel ready. I mean, they're sitting there, there's, you know, there's different elevations there. We know the blue MNAA-1A, we know that's where these hangars are going back. I mean, I don't know why we couldn't have a subgrade at least in there and have all that stuff done out of there. It's going to take a month probably to dig all that up and get it out of there. I'm guessing at least maybe 6 weeks. Just wonder why we haven't moved a little faster to get things ready to hit the ground running once we get these guys give us their financial analysis.
Yeah, Robert.
Yes, sir. That is a very short process to get those areas prepared. We anticipate going with a design build approach. So while they're in the design process, once the selection's been made on that team, they can easily remove those slabs and not impact the overall schedule at all. So it's not on the critical path to remove that. So in lieu of paying a mobilization, demobilization, and remobilization multiple times, just get in there and knock that out one time off that critical path. So we're, instead of paying a team to come in and leave and another team to come back, just wait and do it all at one time. Once you get going, knock it all out.
What's your best estimate on starting construction?
Pending approval in November, go on the street probably at 90 to 120 day advertised solicitation period. It'd probably be in that February or March board meeting is the current target.
You're on a really good track right now, because you're going to make a decision in the winter, which allows us during the rainy season to go out and get this bid. So as the good weather comes back in, Toon ought to be, you know, moving through the process. So
Doug, if I could just add, and our chair could probably give some good color to this, but every month that we delay getting that money from the insurance company is a win for them. If we wait 6 months, and they're gonna want all kinds of things before they pay us, and the longer they delay that, it's money in their pocket and delays us, delays our customers, delays the rebuilding. And we just don't need to be careful not to let them drive that discussion. And I don't know what the policy says, but if it's a requirement that they've got to see what our plans are before they pay us on the previous loss,
okay,
we certainly need to comply with that, but it's normal for them to take as long as they possibly can to,
right,
to pay us, and if we don't pressure them to pay us, they won't pay us early.
Right.
But anyway, and I know you know all that, and you're on top of it, but we just need to be constantly reminded that our interests are opposed, and the quicker we get paid, the faster we can start this process.
That's perfect, and that's the point, is they're going to pay us only for what was destroyed. We know what was destroyed. I don't understand, you know, why we should even have to submit a plan when they're only paying us for the damage that was done, correct?
Yeah, and that's correct.
And we're losing money each month by not having revenue stream coming in off these 124 whatever potential hangars.
Well, I can definitely address it on Friday when we have our meeting and figure out how we have to go ahead and try to, you know, push them into that. It's interesting to go through it and try to understand it. It's affecting 11 different types of policies that we have. So it's, this policy is covering this and that. And so we're definitely trying to get a better understanding of what we're going to collect from them, but there's going to be some disputes on pavement and who pays for this and the FBO. And so we'll, you know, but we can push forward to try to get those collections.
Well, so, Zion, go ahead.
Can I interject for a minute?
Yes, ma'am.
I think something that's very important here is that, and Doug will tell you this, we were very underinsured at John Toon. And I know that this is apparently because the previous regime didn't do their homework or whatever, but we were very underinsured. I think it is critical that we go through our insurance for DNA and make sure that we don't have, if a tornado hits DNA and we're this underinsured, it'd be really bad. So that's number one is the insurance, and I can't agree with you guys more. If we're not going to start this until next March, it's a year later. We need to get something moving out there. And when we get back to the scheme, I'm trying to raise my hand over here as far as that. I do have a comment on that, but the insurance is critical.
And I did take the feedback when we had previous discussions from the board on insurance, and so I hope it's this week. If not, it's the first of next week. I've hired an outside consultant to come in and do an independent assessment of our insurance program to see whether or not we're covered enough. My understanding is the way the Toon policy or the numbers that we had been paying premium against were for the cost of construction originally, not for the cost of replacements. And then, you know, I've had discussions with Commissioner Granberry, is do we purchase riders in the future, that the insurance premium is to cover replacement value versus your original construction cost. So I think we're going to have an outside assessment that can give me some advice on, do I need to start tweaking these insurance policies to better protect the airport. Marge, as when she came in, the airport authority, was it 500 billion? Where we raised I think it was 500 million in insurance coverage for the assets on B&A, and she's raised that to $800 million in assets. But if you look at the balance sheets and stuff, there's a billion something, you know, so are we gonna get hit by something that cleans everything off of the airport? That's what I'm going to try to have with this outside consultant giving me that pro con on coverages. So I'm working on that.
Where's the parking at for all this FBO and all this? I know we talked about that last week, how we're parking out at the south when you come in, but where you park that up around the FBO?
They've added that, Aeroplex has added that all in these green parking path areas that are throughout the area.
Back on this insurance issue,
yes, sir.
We need to be insured for replacement costs. That's what we've got to do. And if we're not, you know, our insurance advisors may not be giving us the best advice. You know, that's clearly what we need to do.
Correct.
You need to do it on your single family home, on commercial properties. Who cares what you paid for it, it's what it costs you to replace it.
Right.
If you have a total loss.
Well, also, Bill, you know this in your business, you need to have the code compliant policy as well. So if what you built today is dramatically out of code in the future, they'll build it back. They have to build it back to the code, which can get with ADA and other issues, hurricane, wind, it can get extremely, extremely expensive if you have to make that code differential up. Apartments, a 300 apartment complex can get really expensive.
I thought we hired a guy to, we brought in to go over all our insurance, didn't we?
We have an insurance, we have an AVP for insurance to, that is to run our programs now, but what he is dealing with is what he inherited. So as you recall, last month, we switched from Willis Towers Watson to Marsh. Okay, on a new broker. Well, the previous broker, and I'm not casting any aspersions, but they were never under a contract. They did this work out here for 12 years. Now we have a contract, but they were just selling the airport policies without some of these specific, you know, caveats that we should have been looking for. So our new individual should be looking for some of those issues, but that's why I'm also hiring an outside consultant to come in and give me direct advice on what are we missing or not missing so that we can fix this. So we're in the process of fixing it, but we're not there yet, but we'll add these riders and you know, replacement costs. I agree 100%. So
I think our priority has got to get these T-hangers back into operation. I mean, I know we can prioritize this whole thing right now. I'm wore out with people wanting to know when we're going to have hangers back. So I think we know we're going to approve this in November. We got to approve this in November. But we know MNAA 1A is going to be hopefully coming out of the ground and get these people. That brings in fuel sales, it brings in rent, it brings in people that are doing overnight. The FBO, the RFPs we're going to putting out for like those all the way down towards the tower. That can be a separate thing that people can be bidding on that yard. We can put that out, let people start bidding that. When we put our RFP out for our stuff, I think, Robert.
Yeah, right. We were prepared to do that prior to the tornado, and we stopped to do this reassessment. So we will get this engine going again. The challenge we want to just make sure is the commissioners have all the information before we move out so that we're following guidance. For example, on 1A, when you look at 1A, does that include the tie down area? That's all new prop earth. So do you want the hangers, or do you want the hangers plus the 1A for the tie downs to that western side? And that's my worry, is I don't want to burn money building up places that I'm out of money to build hangers. And so we just want to see what all the costs are, and then we can go out and target the construction. If we want land to, you know, if we want to do all the earthwork, great, but that's money, and it won't be into metal for a hangar. So we can build hangars. We're going to have the money to build hangars back and invest in the airport. I just want to make sure that there's no, you know, that we get clear guidance from the GOP committee and the board that Doug, go do this, and we'll go do it. So,
well, Doug, aren't you, you know, Robert talked about the design build for 1A and all that concrete and all that material. I mean, it makes a lot of sense that you're going to have to do a little bit of heavy lifting if you're going to build that pad, because it's going to be a lot cheaper to do it now than it is going to be doing it later, utilities, et cetera. So there's going to be some heavy lifting, that, and that's where your bond issue might come in, that's where your other money might come in, that you might eliminate one section of what we were going to do because you spent all your money, then that becomes an RFP area, but your pad is ready to go. It's like right now doing the tower. I mean, you're moving a lot of earth around there. Can they not utilize some of that and start getting those hangar pads pad ready, so to speak, and you get your utilities in, et cetera? And Doug, the other question I had,
the answer is yes, but I want to make sure that,
right,
that I know what you all want us to head for. I mean, like we said, we're re-envisioning Toon, and I just want to make sure we're heading in the right direction. Once we get past this finance and you give clear guidance on what you're looking for, we can make it happen.
So we talked about insurance and the FEMA money. Contour, don't they have the insurance on the two big hangars that were destroyed and they have to rebuild them back? Where's that fall into the equation?
Well, Aeroplex would tell you that we will end up having to address this with lawyers because of the differences in opinion. Corporate Flight may want to only build back exactly where they were before. Now we're moving them. They don't agree that they are responsible for all pavement within 250 feet of their previous hangar. You know, there's going to be back and forth to figure out this FBO side of the house. To us, it makes perfect logic. How much was your rebuild cost in this location? Give us that money or build back and we'll cover whatever that delta is or whoever the next FBO operator is. But the FBO is going to be sensitive with the one that's there, or do we want to, you know, work out some deal for somebody new? But Aeroplex has seen this play out at other locations, and you know, we want to do what's in the best advantage of MNAA and John Toon, not necessarily Corporate Flight.
Do we need to resolve that in advance of filed into our full-blown program?
I don't think we'll resolve it anytime soon, but okay. I do think it's going to be a challenge. I mean, you know, one of the things Aeroplex has brought up to us, and we're starting to talk about, should we get outside counsel to help us that has expertise in negotiating this swap over of FBOs? So it's a challenge.
I'll just add that the same thing I said about our insurance company is the case with them. And if we've given them 6 months and likely going to give them another 6 months, they'd be delighted to hold on to that money that they need to spend to rebuild those hangars for as long as we'll allow them to do it.
Right.
And I think hiring whether it's a law firm or a consultant, but you know, they're not going to push that until we do.
Correct.
So.
Correct. Yes, sir. Okay. Yes. Yes, Commissioner Smith.
Are we doing an analysis of the current revenue for all these locations as well as it stands or at least has stood pre-COVID? I'd like to see what that looks like comparative to, I know you mentioned having future financial projections for these different options here on this concept.
Yes.
But I'd like to take a look at what we're doing with regard to rent and other things as well for our current tenants. And when's the last time, I think we talked about this in a previous meeting, but has an analysis been done to compare to other like airports and cities to see are we scaled appropriately based on our current situation?
The answer is yes, that's part of the Aeroplex product. They're developing multiple templates for each one of these areas that allow us to go and decide what length of payback time do we want, what individual rate of return that we want, you know, so we will be able to pick it and choose on how we want to set a standard for what goes in each one of these areas, so we'll be able to model that a lot closer. A lot closer than we've had in the past. So, in preparation for this November 5th meeting, I believe that Aeroplex is sharing the data with the staff sometime in late October, I want to say the 27th or 28th, somewhere around that time period. So that's our first chance to see it, process it, and get it ready for your presentation on November 5th.
Go ahead, Chris. I apologize. Go ahead.
That's okay, Bill. I know it's hard virtually. So just remind me, because it's been a while since I've seen the revenue out of Toon,
and the costs associated with tuning at this point. Remind me what that looks like.
In general, and I'm speaking ballpark or whatever, and I can send commissioners an update, but pre-COVID, John C. Toon was making approximately $1 million a year, and cost to operate John Toon was about $800,000 a year. So we netted $200,000. We generally tended to save that $200,000, use it with the match that we would, or not a match, but we, the small amount we would get from the Transportation Equity Fund. And about every 3 years, we'd have another $1 million or so that we could go in and do pavement maintenance or add some new hangers. So this is what we're about to do with like this concept. It obviously, it's like we've talked about, it's a new vision, but also we have the insurance proceeds, these grants from FEMA, and other money that we would possibly invest in this for one big time, you know, lump to go into John C. Toon. But
one thing we need to remember here, this is probably a 6 to 10 year build out at least, okay?
And Aeroplex is telling you 10 to 15 years.
I'm not surprised, that's why. I think we're trying to analyze some of these costs right now. We should be analyzing the loss of revenue each month, getting these hangars built back, bringing our customers back to John Toon. And I mean, again, prioritizing this, because down that whole length beside the tower, that could be 10, 12 years. You may find one or two of those spots somebody takes and builds a hangar on, but this is a long-term program we're looking at here. And I'm not too worried about the cost on it now. I'm worried about the cost on 1A coming out of the ground and getting some big box hangars built for maintenance and things like that.
You know, Bobby, the thing that, and we talk about this later, I don't think we are, but we're spending 1.345, whatever the number ends up being here, and we're not talking about 10 years or 15 years, or that extended period of time. This is minor stuff compared to what we're doing here. And if we've got the insurance, we've got the funding, the bond capability, it shouldn't be a decade-long project compared to what we're doing here,
right?
And in a, you know, 20% of that time, or whatever the numbers are. So I don't want us to just agree that that's a 15-year project out there. I just don't think
that's
realistic at all.
Corporate America is going to be the ones to have to develop a lot of that, and how fast are they going to be willing to do that with only one runway?
Yeah.
That's what's kept HCA out of there now, is only because of one runway.
Yeah.
Okay.
Doug, the thing I was going to mention just a moment ago, and it's a little bit off track, but I just, we've got right now, and I don't want to nail you down on this, but how many restaurants are we working with, or are we planning on having at this airport, B&A, when we're finished with everything that we're doing? But just an approximate number. I'm not trying to nail you down. I'll get to my point here in a second.
Sure. If B&A, if the employments come back to what we forecasted with in 2023, when we end the B&A vision, first phase of B&A vision, we would have 91. Of that, my WAG would be a 50% mix. So say 45 restaurant or food kind of things, and 45 retails.
Okay, so 45 restaurants here. We've talked in meetings past about having something either on the second floor of the FBO or a separate building. We've got a lot of customers out there, and if we can service 45 restaurants here, you know, it may be that we could find a place to put one out there. And we've all been to airports around the country that have restaurants that look out over the runway and that are very successful. And you know, if we don't talk about it now in the planning stages, we won't ever have an opportunity to reconsider that. And I just happen to think that's a wonderful use to have at John Toon. And I think it'd be well utilized and profitable for the airport authority.
Yep.
And be good for our tenants and for the city.
And for all the surrounding businesses. There's nowhere to eat out there, you know. You gotta drive all the way over to Charlotte Pike.
Yeah.
Get something to eat. Bill, we've always talked about that.
Yeah.
Ideal thing, small restaurant sizes, deal right here, is service our customers and the neighbors.
And if we don't do it now.
Right.
Well, we will never do it.
We have had, if you will, preliminary discussions with Aeroplex when we've discussed that there is a desire for us to have a new FBO terminal, and we have mentioned that the request from commissioners was for service and possibly additional revenue is to include something like that into the new terminal. So that's why we show moving the terminal, and when we go out and negotiate this new lease or new FBO development area with whoever, then that could be one of our criteria for whoever entering into this, is they provide that service. And whether they operate it or we choose to do something like that is something we'll.
And Doug, one other thing, and that's catering for our commercial. You know, we're all seeing bigger iron over there every time we go on the ramp, and they're providing catering. They're just going off site to pick it up and bring it back for their passengers. But
right.
You know, that would be a need that we could fulfill with some kind of food service, catering, restaurant.
Yep.
Operations. Anyway, I know we talked about it before, but I just want to keep it on.
That's a great idea. Okay. Now's the time to talk about it.
Okay.
It's on the burner.
Anything else on?
No, sir. That was just an update.
Okay.
Oops, sorry.
Any other business these come from the committee?
No, sir.
Okay. I'll entertain a motion to adjourn. Second.
Hello.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Meeting.
The joint meeting of the MNAA and MPC Finance Administration Properties Committees will be held in accordance with Executive Order Number 16, signed by Governor Bill Lee on March 20th, 2020, as amended by Executive Order Number 34, signed by Governor Bill Lee on May 6, 2020, as amended by Executive Order Number 51, signed by Governor Bill Lee on June 29th, 2020. And as amended by Executive Order Number 60, signed by Governor Bill Lee on August 28, 2020, allowing a governing body to hold meetings by electronic or other means of communication without a quorum being physically present if the governing body determines that meeting by electronic means is necessary to prevent the spread of COVID-19 or other related epidemics, to protect the health, safety, and welfare of the public and members of the governing body. All votes taken during this meeting will be by roll call vote. And now I'll do a roll call. Chair Farnsworth?
I'm here.
Vice Chair Freeman?
Here.
Commissioner Joslin?
Here.
Commissioner Dorge?
Here.
Commissioner Crumbo?
Here.
Thank you.
Okay, we do have a quorum. Chair Farnsworth has called us to order. Approval of the minutes.
Chair Farnsworth?
Yeah. Do I have a motion for approval of the minutes everyone should have?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Chair Farnsworth?
Approved.
Vice Chair Freeman?
Approved.
Commissioner Joslin?
Approved.
Commissioner Dorge?
Approved.
Commissioner Crumbo?
Approved.
Thank you.
Thank you. I don't have a chair's report today, so we'll go
to Doug. Okay. Thank you, Chair Farnsworth. No items for approval. The information items we'll have today is presented by Margaret Martin.
Good morning.
Good morning.
All right, so I've got two information items for the committee today. The first is concessions. This is the sort of standard monthly report that we provide to the board on concessions, sales, and locations. Currently, we were excited to have three new concepts open last week. That would be Tootsie's, Tennessee Brew Works, and Green Beans Coffee. Green Beans is in the former Starbucks, which is pre-security. So that has been something we've really been pushing on to get something for our guests, especially with the divided terminal. So we're excited to have that open. Sales per enplanements year over year are still lower. Of course, some of that's due to lower enplanements. We also continue to have pressure on the striking a balance between ensuring we've got locations that are here and open that have sufficient operating hours to support passenger travel with hours of lower than normal passenger volume. So that's been a challenge to work through with Fraport. We did issue Fraport a contract penalty notice on October 5th with an invoice for those contract penalties. So we're continuing to work through that with Fraport. And then down at the bottom there, we have 30 concepts that are currently open. The Concourse D, of course, is two kiosks. One is the Fat Bottom kiosk, and then the Hudson News is on the other side of the node there at D. Minute Suites is on D. It is under active construction, and so we anticipate having that open in the next few weeks, hopefully. I'm happy to answer any questions, or I can move into the next information.
So Tootsie's is now open for business?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes.
That's good news.
Yes, it is good news. All right, so the next information item I had for the board is update on the parking and valet service RFP. We're approaching this as a two-tier solicitation. We've already issued a request for information seeking industry feedback on what an innovative customer-focused parking and valet product would look like. So we got a lot of great feedback. There were seven companies that responded to that RFI. We brought three of them in for interviews. It was not a narrowing down in a solicitation process of, hey, these are the only three that can respond to an RFP. It was really just to get new, fresh ideas. Those interviews went really well. We gathered some great information. As a result of those interviews, we are in the middle of drafting an RFP. This is a collaborative effort with the commercial development team, operations, maintenance, IT, BDD, finance. So it's a big group effort to get this released at the end of October. We're laser focused on the expiration of the current contract, which is 6/30/2021. So in order to hit that date, we really want to have a recommendation to the board for approval of a new company or companies in February. The RFP is being structured as one solicitation with two packages, one for parking, one for valet. A company can propose on both packages or either or. So we built it like that to provide ultimate flexibility to us as the airport on who's providing the best product for a particular service. Some of the things we're putting into the RFP are we want to see what a loyalty program would look like. We want to know whether they would recommend. We also want to see a reservation platform for both the parking and the valet function. We're looking for dashboards that our team can use for real-time data so that we can respond if necessary on pricing or lot availability. And all of these are designed to generate higher utilization of our lots and our services and, of course, higher revenue. What I have on that.
Any of these three presently have a contract with us now?
No, sir.
Who do we have now?
ABM.
ABM, thank you.
Did they come back in? Or?
Yes.
Yes, they were one of the seven respondents, yes.
Okay. And SP Parking that you see down there was here. Who was here before ABM had come in?
We got into a mess a few years ago with Republic out of Chattanooga, I believe it was.
Right.
Remember, it was a...
That was, I think, prior to me, but it was Republic, and then it got bought out, and yeah. Standard Parking came in, and Standard Parking Plus, as they keep acquiring things. So
protested the bid or something, I don't remember.
Okay.
For your time, Doug, yeah, okay? Don't forget that.
That's right.
While we're talking about parking, I've had a couple phone calls. Did we raise the rates on employee parking?
The rates are going to be raised in January on employee parking, yes, sir.
And how much were they raised?
They were raised from $10 to $25 for employees, and from commuters to $25 to $75.
A month.
My question is, and I'm always going to take up with a little man here, during a pandemic, I mean, that seems like a pretty big grab for me to triple 25 to 75, 10 to 25.
We ought to if we're theoretically talking, not offer commuters any breaks on parking. A lot of airports don't offer them any breaks. And when a commuter parks here, they take up that one space three times because they're normally gone for multiple days at a time. Okay. So their average cost is $2 a day. They can't get parking anywhere else in Nashville for 24 hours for $2 a day. And so they raise a lot of stink, but we were subsidizing employees and commuter parking to the tune of well over $1 million a year. And we're not the highest. They can, you know, it's a business decision. They need to start paying so that we can cover all the cost of the construction and maintenance of those employee lots. And then when you add on the shuttle cost on top of that, that's where we are really losing our, you know, socks on that. And so now we are cost recovered. We don't make any money on them. It's the minimum it takes to pay to shuttle them in and to keep the parking lot open and running. Well, that is all the, yes, sir. That's all the informational updates we have. Anything else, Commissioner Farnsworth?
I don't have anything else. If nobody has anything else, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So move.
Second.
Okay. Okay. Johnson, Grimberry, Sullivan, Crumbo. We do have all of them. So, sir, over to you.
I call BNA Vision meeting to order. Angela.
The meeting of the BNA Vision Committee will be held in accordance with Executive Order Number 16. Signed by Governor Bill Lee on March 20th, 2020, as amended by Executive Order Number 34, signed by Governor Bill Lee on May 6th, 2020, as amended by Executive Order Number 51, signed by Governor Bill Lee on June 29th, 2020, and as amended by Executive Order Number 60, signed by Governor Bill Lee on August 28th, 2020, allowing a governing body to hold meetings by electronic or other means of communication without a quorum being physically present if the governing body determines that meeting by electronic means is necessary to prevent the spread of COVID-19 or other related epidemics to protect the health, safety, and welfare of the public and members of the governing body. All votes taken during this meeting will be by roll call vote. And I'll do a roll call. Chair Joslin.
Present.
Vice Chair Granberry.
Here.
Commissioner Sullivan.
Here.
And Commissioner Crumbo.
Here.
Thank you.
So I take a motion to approve the minutes. So approve. Second. Second.
Second.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries.
You need your roll call vote.
Yes. Chair Joslin.
Here.
Approved.
Vice Chair Granberry.
Approved.
Okay. Commissioner Sullivan.
It's time to call. Just gotta keep you on your toes.
And Commissioner Crumbo. Thank you.
I have nothing to report today. I will save all of y'all the pressure that I was going to deliver today till next month.
All right. We do have one item, Chair Joslin, for approval, and it is going to be presented by Margaret again, and the garage and hotel development. So we'll turn it over to her.
Good morning again. So I'm very excited to be presenting this. This has been a two-year undertaking. Looking back to the staff analysis, we began this effort in October of 2018. So very excited to be in front of you today with this recommendation. Joining us today at this committee on the Zoom is Scott Kendall. He's the VP of Development and Acquisitions with Chartwell Hospitality and some members of his team, as well as the three lead consultants that have been helping MNAA throughout this process. Lloyd Lowy is our outside counsel with Hawkins, Delafield, and Wood. We have Clay Pasley with Pasley Management Group, and then Larry Malinsky with Frasca and Associates, and they've been our financial consultant. This has really been a huge team effort to get to this point, especially not just the MNAA staff, but our consultant team, and then the hotel teams themselves have been a real partner in getting us to where we are today. So we're excited to present this recommendation to you. So first we wanted to show you some images of the hotel as proposed by Chartwell. It is will be a Hilton branded hotel. This is the view from the terminal building. The top there is the rooftop bar. This is the view from the plaza. Some of the hotel highlights here are the Chartwell Hospitality will be the hotel developer. They've selected Raven Architects as their hotel designer, and McMurray Construction as the GC for the hotel construction. As I said, it will be Hilton branded. The hotel will have 9 floors. There will be a rooftop bar with airfield views and a pool. There's a full service restaurant at the plaza level with plaza seating. There's a ballroom, there's a cafe, fitness room, club lounge, and multiple meeting spaces. So there are the interior package and interior design will be finalized later in the process, but the initial images we've seen are really fantastic and upper upscale. And then the room count right now is at 292, and 6 of those will be suites. Here's another view. This is if you were flying over Concourse A. Really gives you an idea of the visibility from the roof there. And then an overhead view of the outdoor seating and the pool area and the cabanas.
I see a new area for a boardroom.
Absolutely. Take a swimming
lesson, stay exercise, yeah. Get a little sun, get that virus.
All right, so I wanted to highlight some of the key lease agreement terms for the board. These are presented in more detail in the staff analysis, and there's some additional terms that are in there, but these are some of the things we wanted to call out. So the lease term will be 75 years. There are no extensions after that. At the end of 75 years, the hotel reverts in ownership to the authority. The revenue base rent is right now will be estimated at $82 million over that 75-year lease term. Base rent starts at $500,000 upon hotel opening, and then every 5 years there's a 15% increase or CPI, whichever is lower. There's also percentage rent factor in here, and we really wanted to structure it as a base rent so that we would have a guaranteed revenue stream to MNAA, as well as a percentage rent so that we can participate in any upside from a revenue perspective for the hotel. Right now, based on the Chartwell 75-year pro forma, we're looking at roughly $250 million over that lease term in percentage rent. In the staff analysis, we kind of walked through the percentage rent is set up into 4 tranches. So there's 4 different breakpoints. We receive additional percentage rent every time they hit one of those gross revenue breakpoints. There's also contingent rent opportunity here with this deal. This could result in additional revenue to the airport. What the contingent rent is really meant to control is that if there is an equity sale or transfer of this hotel and it's wildly financially successful, we want the airport to be able to participate in that equity event. So this may or may not happen, but if it does, we have an opportunity there. Right now, under the agreement, the way the RFP was structured, the hotel teams could propose the internal rate of return for that equity sale hotel, and then a percentage of revenue to the authority over that internal rate of return. So after additional negotiation with Chartwell, where we landed was that they would receive an internal rate of return of 17.5%. Anything over that, the airport gets 20% of. There's also a 5-year asset management plan updated every 5 years. This is to ensure that we have visibility that the operator is staying on top of all the capital needs of the hotel. Since we're going to be owning it at the end of the term, we wanted to make sure that we have visibility into how that asset's being maintained over the term. We also have termination rights for airport expansion. This is in addition to typical termination rights for default, but we felt that this was very important since the hotel is right outside the front door of the terminal. We don't know what will happen 50 years from now, 40 years from now, so we do have an ability to buy out this operator if we need to for expansion purposes. There is an FF&E reserve account. This is funded annually with a percentage of gross revenues and has to be maintained at a certain balance, and this covers carpet and normal wear and tear. They've also, there is an ACDB Eagle for this hotel of 8.26%, and Chartwell has committed to meet that. So this is actually sort of a combination recommendation. We're recommending for the committee today the approval of the award of the hotel development and parking garage development to Chartwell Hospitality, and also approval of the component guarantee maximum price one for garage B. So if you recall, the way this deal is structured is that Chartwell is finalizing design for the garage and building the garage and the hotel, and the airport is reimbursing them for the remaining design costs and build costs for that garage. So right now, CGMP number one is $47 million. There will be a second CGMP with an estimated total contract cost for the garage of $82 million. The contract start date for all of this, so the design build agreement is an appendix to the project lease agreement, because Chartwell is ultimately the responsible party for ensuring both of these projects get completed. That contract start date will be as soon as the contract is executed, anticipated to be November of 2020. And the garage portion would end December 2023 when we pay out for the garage cost. The funding sources for the garage are M&A bonds, and then the hotel, just a reminder that that's 100% funded by Chartwell. So with that, the staff recommends approval of this award, and I'm happy to answer any additional questions.
Chairman Freeman, you think we could get these guys to relocate this out to John Toon? have a nice restaurant up on top, looking at the airfield. Do we have any observations, any questions, any comments that members would like to add?
Just a clarification on that total contract cost. Of the finishes, elevators, park assist, is that the difference in is that the $36 million difference, or is there?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
How many parking spaces are we talking about here?
2,000.
Yeah, and that this one, as you see the gap that's out there today, this is what we were calling Garage B and the numbers, but anyway, this will connect all three garages.
Who gets rent off those?
What's that?
Who gets rent?
We do. So in the end, there'll be 7,000 spaces in all, in the combination of three garages.
That's great.
Yeah. Versus when we started this, it was 2,000. So we tried to bring our customers closer to the front door.
Any other comments from members? If not, I'd like to obtain a motion to move this to the full board next week. Do I have a motion?
I move.
Second.
And Mr. Granberry, did you want to excuse yourself?
I'm going to let Kevin second, then I'll recuse myself.
Okay. Gotcha. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Commissioner. All in favor? Motion carries.
Need to take a vote.
Roll call vote, please.
Chair Joslin.
Here.
Vice Chair Granberry.
Recuse.
Commissioner Sullivan. Commissioner Crumbo.
Approved.
Thank you.
All right. Congratulations. Great. 2 years. That's good.
What took you so long?
In terms of an informational item, we have one item that we're going to present to the commissioners from Tracy on the software contract, just as an FYI.
Yes, thank you. Good morning. So Procore is the project management, construction management software we use for all of our projects. Especially Vision, it's where we do all of our project controls, and it's time to renew that. So this is, we've negotiated a three-year term. The current term expires in December 2020, so we've negotiated a new three-year term for a total of $828,000, evenly distributed over 3 years at $276,000, and this will all be funded by M&A O&M. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
And we brought this forward just because this is the second time you've already done this once for the first 3 years of B&A Vision. This is for the final 3 years of the B&A Vision. And since it totals more than $500,000, we just wanted to come back to you again to make sure you understood what we were using.
You need a motion?
No, we don't. This is just informational wise. It's below the $500,000, but we just wanted to let you know we're updating that contract there. So
does Robert make Tracy wear orange? Is that part of the dress code?
She's Western Kentucky, so I don't know.
Peach.
All right.
Thank you.
Anything else, Chair Jolly?
Anything, any other members? If not, I'll,
Motion to adjourn.
We're adjourned.
All right. Management Committee meeting, so I call this meeting to order. And if you take a roll call attendance.
Okay.
Please.
Chair Harwell.
Present.
Vice Chair Farnsworth.
I'm present.
Secretary Freeman.
Present.
And Commissioner Dorsch.
Present.
All right, and the first item is approval of the minutes. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Second.
All right, now I don't think there's any discussion, so let's do a roll call vote.
Chair Harwell.
I approve.
Vice Chair Farnsworth.
I approve.
Secretary Freeman.
Approve.
Commissioner Dorsch.
Approve.
Want to read the electronic?
Okay. The MNAA Management Committee will be held in accordance with Executive Order Number 16, signed by Governor Bill Lee on March 20th, 2020, as amended by Executive Order Number 34, signed by Governor Bill Lee on May 6th, 2020, as amended by Executive Order Number 51, signed by Governor Bill Lee on June 29th, 2020, and as amended by Executive Order Number 60, signed by Governor Bill Lee on August 28th, 2020, allowing a governing body to hold meetings by electronic or other means of communication without a quorum being physically present if the governing body determines that meeting by electronic means is necessary to prevent the spread of COVID-19 or other related epidemics to protect the health, safety, and welfare of the public and members of the governing body. All votes taken during this meeting will be by roll call vote.
All right. Thank you. And I don't have a chair's report. We don't have any items for approval. We do have an informational item with strategic planning, and I will have some comments about that as well. So I'll turn it over to you.
All right. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. Just wanted to give the commissioners a couple of updates, reference strategic issues that we're working on right now. The first one being is that on September 28th and 29th, the staff completed both its senior staff retreat and its executive staff retreat. The top one is the senior staff retreat, where we went over their performance so far on the year to date on objectives, how they're doing on expenses, their requirement to update the different policies within their directorates, and some key metrics, and then discuss any personnel or ethical challenges that they saw out there on the horizon. So I thought it was very time well spent with hearing the assistant vice presidents all come in and talk to the executive team. Then the following day on the 29th, we met just with the executive staff to look over how we're doing performance-wise, discuss changes that we may want to make later in the year on the organizational chart to make us more efficient. And then we started talking about how are we doing in this budget year and what kind of thoughts do we have for next year's budget. And that led us into Vision 2.0 planning, and we will be discussing all of that at the board retreat here next week on October 21st to give you our assessment of where we are performance-wise, financial-wise, and then some thoughts that the management team and commissioners need to think about on B&A Vision 2.0 as well. And then we've been doing a lot of work with concessions planning, and I'll switch to my next slide there. So on the concession side of the house, we have presented Fraport on October 5th with a notice of default and the invoice of the associated contract penalties. We have been working on this for several months to try to improve Fraport's performance. I will say that on October 5th, when I sent the letter to them on that notice of default, we definitely have their attention. I have had a couple of meetings and direct correspondence with the board of directors in Fraport, Germany. And so there has been a good exchange of ideas back and forth. they have responded as we've gone through that, and you can see that I had a conversation last Friday, the 9th, and I gave them a requirement to send me an updated proposal on the 12th. Yesterday, I sent them a letter back saying that that proposal was not satisfactory, and I identified four key principles that they needed to address going forward. And I did receive their response this morning at 7 a.m. that they agreed to the principles that I'm laying out for going forward. We are still trying to work on what an agreement would look like, but we're working towards the notice of default by the contract gives Fraport 10 days to try to cure it to our satisfaction. And our outside legal counsel would tell you that if it's beneficial to the authority, that it's common practice that we may take greater than 10 days to work out some agreement, but we're not there yet. The 10th day would run out on the 19th of this month, and that's 2 days before the next board meeting. So we have Fraport's attention. We're having some communications back and forth, and my legal counsel, our legal counsel, has been very, very good at helping the authority prepare. I have a transition plans that they've recommended that we produce, and we have, but as we get into any additional discussions with legal counsel, I'll save some comments to there, and then I'll discuss these recommendations at a later point.
Thank you. What I'd like to, I think this will be a good point to go into executive session to have a discussion. We have legal counsel on right now. And so let's go ahead and go into executive session.
Normal session.
We are done with our executive session.
Salt in your,
and
you know, David,
do we have any other items of business? I have one small item that I'd like to address. Doug, anything from you?
No, the only thing is on the last slide that we had, slide 9, on this on the management committee, it says CEO recommendation, and I was just wanting to advise or ask, thumbs up from the management committee to extend this notice of default past maybe Monday the 19th so that I can work out some compromise possibly. If it doesn't work out, I'll come back to commissioners and report that as well. So basically just wanted an affirming, affirmation that it's okay. You know where I'm at. George Cade has told you where we're at it legally. And so if we could just continue
this. Do you need
this,
a motion in that regard?
I don't know if we need a motion or just we can document it in the minutes.
I think we're okay without it.
Okay. And so that's it. I'll continue doing or working with George Cade and Fraport to see if we can come to an agreement based on the discussions that you all previously had.
Thank you. And I know it's been a long morning and it's been a productive morning. There's one thing I'd like to do since we are under strategic planning. I have spent some time over the last several months looking at committees and deciding if there were going to be any changes or shifts. And I think that given everything that's been going on with COVID, and we've got a lot of momentum with these committees. So what I'm going to do at this time, I'm keeping committees intact, and that would be I'll look at this at the beginning of the year as we get through some of these projects, but I think some of the committees do need beefing up a little bit and some reinforcements. So here's what I'm going to do. We've got four members on the management committee. I think that, so we've got an odd number, and plus I just want to make Bobby's life a little more difficult. I'm going to bring Bobby on the management committee, plus there's a lot of institutional knowledge, and we've got some issues that we need to deal with. So Bobby, I'm inviting you. I'm putting you on the management committee.
Don't invite him. Just
so he's on the management committee. Jimmy, given the experience and all that you've got, and especially with the operations and planning, I've talked to Commissioner Freeman about this. I'm going to put you on the GAOPE committee. I think that will help beef things up. There's a lot going on there. And so that's the other thing I like to do. I think Joycelyn is she's not participating right now. I don't see her,
but I'm going to put her on the vision, and I'm also going to put her on diversity as our newest board member. I may have some other, may do a few other things later, but that's what I want to do now. So it's really beefing up the committees at this point. And Bobby, don't create too much issue with our management committee.
Doug, I will see you in my office this afternoon.
So that's what I'd like to do, and I appreciate everyone's input on that. Are there any other items to be addressed? All right, that's it. We're done. This meeting's done. Thank you.